Hey there, welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Ben Olson, that's Nathan Fox. Together, we're the founders of LSATdemon.com and our weekly podcast, Thinking LSAT. Today, we have special guest Rachel Gezerse on the show. Rachel is a trial attorney who specializes in catastrophic personal injury and wrongful death cases. She's also an adjunct professor at USC and the author of the Law Career Playbook. We were just interviewing you on the Thinking LSAT podcast, and we wanted you to come over here and share your wisdom with our LSAT Demon Daily listeners.
Great.
So thanks.
Let's hear it. Well, give us your wisdom.
What's your number one advice for anyone who's just starting this lovely journey? Or I don't know if lovely is the right word, but this journey.
Well, you know, I think my number one piece of advice is, you know, the core tenet of my book and my program is start doing informational interviews with attorneys who are actually practicing, right? And if you're one of those special people, right, because this is not everybody who actually knows exactly what they want to do, right? You know exactly the kind of lawyer you want to be. You know you want to be a trial attorney, or you know you want to work in entertainment or whatever it is. Then come up with a list of people doing the kind of work you want to do and reach out to them and meet them and start just, and look, it's uncomfortable. It's awkward. You know, maybe it's someone that you get so nervous and you're, you know, but those are muscles that you want to start learning how to flex now. Right. And even if it's the most awkward, horrific, just cringy situation, one of them, trust me, the next time will get better. Right. We all have to go through this. We're all, you know, I do this work and I am such an introvert, right? And so for me, it's so hard to sort of put myself out there and flex these muscles. And I've had to learn how to do it. It's almost like building up a persona. But if you start doing it in these small increments and working on this daily, you will just get so much better at it. And you know, the benefits are just immense. So
that's, let me make some objections and see what you have to say. Cause I can imagine what people are gonna say, all right? Oh, that's a great idea, but I don't have time right now because I'm studying for the LSAT.
Right. So, you know, I think time management is a skill, right? And starting small, right? It's not about doing 10 hours of this a day. It's about, you know, if you come up with a list of 10 people, let's do one a day. And when I say do one a day, I mean just write one email, one reach out email. And I have templates in my book of how to do this. You don't even have to come up with the writing. You can just plug in the specifics into the template, send that email out. So do one email a day. If that person responds back, then you have one interview a day, right, that you can do. And you just slowly sort of build a process by doing it this way. And like, trust me, once this works a couple of times, you're going to want to do more because it is a little bit addictive. It's a little bit addictive, especially as you're you know, getting into this journey. As you start to meet people, then that person's going to want to introduce you to more people. Right. And you will be more confident and you will find the time. And it's just about setting aside 10, 15, 20 minutes a day to start flexing these muscles and working on it. It's not a huge time commitment.
That's awesome.
Go ahead, Ben.
I wanted to go back to this thing you had mentioned earlier, talking about how some of these things can be so, you know, cringy or embarrassing or what it is. Right. But it's like, If you now see it as something you're going to have so many of these interviews, then yes, you can fail on so many of them. And you're also, anyone who actually does this, right? I'm sure a ton of people are going to listen to this and do absolutely nothing, unfortunately. But for those who actually start doing it, right? You make these mistakes now. No one's going to care. That person's never going to think about you again. They have a million things on their plate they got to get back to. But make these mistakes now so that when you actually go get an interview in law school that matters, you're not just a little bit better. You're astronomically better at this whole process because you've started these conversations with attorneys so many times, right? Yeah. You're the person coming in the room who's confident, and that vibe is going to sell you, right? Like that, like, hey, I understand how this works. I have some questions for you. You have questions for me. I've made all these mistakes.
No, absolutely. It's the
years ago.
That muscle. Right.
Yeah.
You build this out in yourself and you realize what your comfort level is. And, you know, I get really, really nervous And, you know, early on, if I get nervous, then I tend to have diarrhea of the mouth, right? And just blah, 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 all this stuff comes out, you know, and in doing more and more interviews and learning how to edit myself and kind of have these conversations and talk about myself, that's a skill and you have to work at it. And by doing it in situations that don't matter as much, you're working that muscle and it's so beneficial.
But I'm just going to wait for OCI. Why don't I just wait for OCI and then the interviews will come to me?
Right. So yeah, you can't across the board. And I have heard this, I have students and have had students all over the country. OCI, while great that it exists, oftentimes just doesn't give students what they need to be able to get in front of these firms. You know, it's just, it's these OCI interviews are very, very short, right? Sometimes they can be 5 minutes, 10 minutes. It's not allowing you to get your best foot forward with these firms. Maybe you don't even get access to the firms that you want, and then boom, it's over and you've actually missed that window. But if you set this up beforehand and you're connected with the people who work at these firms and you're self-generating interviews and opportunities, you control that. You control that narrative and you control that time more in a way. OCI, you don't control it all, right? So just waiting for that, it's very, very risky.
What if someone said, but I don't know anybody who does the kind of work that I want to do?
Oh, right. People say that all the time. Most people don't, right? Most people don't know. But the beauty of the internet and sites like LinkedIn, everyone who's listening to this right now needs to be on LinkedIn, have a LinkedIn account, not so much for your outward facing LinkedIn profile, but for the research tools that LinkedIn provides you and the ability to just search. You can do crazy intense searches to narrow down people doing the kind of work that you want to do on LinkedIn. You get their email and you email them and you set up a 15-minute Zoom thing, and that's how you start to meet people. You have the ability to do this, right? Not everyone's going to say yes, but because of Zoom and the capabilities of being able to meet people, somebody will. And it's a way to meet people, and then that person will introduce you to people, and it's a domino effect across the board. Look, it's uncomfortable. I mean, you know, not everyone's an introvert like I am, but, you know, certainly this doesn't come naturally, but that's why you got to try it and you got to do it. And I just am a huge believer that if you put it out there, something will come back to you, right? Some of this work will come back to you and be helpful.
Here's an objection, maybe. Okay, I can imagine myself getting one of these interviews, but what do I say?
Right. So, you know, and I have the chapter in the book has some of like the hardest and most challenging questions that come up in these interviews, even in informational interviews, because it's funny, you know, an informational interview isn't a job interview, right? It's more for you to be a sponge and gather information, but you're still going to get these kinds of questions, right? And so preparing in advance and really thinking through some of the harder type, you know, where do you see yourself in 5 years? Or why are you so interested in this? You know, thinking that through and doing your research will allow you to, you know, answer the questions and ask the right questions because you've thought it through in advance.
Hmm. Yeah, for sure. The more you know about something, right, the more actually you realize what you don't know. Right. And you're probably in a better position to ask meaningful questions.
Right, right. And it's the whole, look, always coming back, and I tell my students, I actually have, when I do my PowerPoint presentation, I have a huge picture of a sponge. If you come at it thinking that you are going to learn from this person that you're meeting, that it's not so much about you, right? It's more about them and what knowledge they can bring, and then, you know, what you can learn and how they can be a mentor to you. It's a much easier way to step into those conversations, right? Because people, they've trudged this hard road. They want to share their experience. And it's about tapping into that and being the sponge and letting them help you.
Cool.
We had a much longer interview on the other side, our other podcast, a longer form podcast called Thinking LSAT. You can go check out that longer interview. If you would like to reach out to Rachel, she's on Instagram at Law Career Lab. She's on Facebook, Rachel Gezerseh, Gezerseh. She's on LinkedIn. She is on Twitter at Law Career Lab. And she's even said you can email her directly. That's Gezerseh, Gezerseh at psblaw.com. You can also, we're going to have a class a free class on lsatdemon.com. All you're going to need is a free account. You can go to lsatdemon.com and you can look for the class that we're having. We haven't even come up with a title yet, but we are going to have a class at some time in the future with Rachel Gezersay. Basically, you're going to be looking to help people work their way through your book, right? Yeah. So get the Law Career Playbook. It's on Amazon. Start working your way through those worksheets. Rachel, you said earlier that the perfect student is what again? Who do you want? What's the perfect time to start working with you?
Early days, you know, someone who is just starting to think about taking the LSAT, who's ready to commit to this journey of law school, like start flexing now, start flexing these muscles now, start building your network now, because it will bear huge fruit for you as things get harder and your time becomes less, which is when law school.
That's the critical part, right? People complain about like, well, but I don't have time because I'm studying for the LSAT. Hold on a second. Maybe you should start this process before you start the LSAT process, because ultimately the LSAT is nothing if you don't get a job. Right. And you need to figure out that, like, okay, I'm on a credible path toward a job. And if, you know, you just start doing these informational interviews and you realize that it's not what you thought it was, or it's harder than you thought, or it's just not, you know, if it starts to feel like, oh, maybe this whole endeavor is not the right fit, then it'll be better that you never even wasted your time and money preparing for the LSAT. And I'm happy to talk myself out of LSAT business if it means that my students are ultimately going to find more success or more happiness in their career and in their life. So, yeah. You know, like if you don't have time to do this now, okay. Oh, so you're going to have more time as a 1L?
No, never again.
You know, we're always telling people things out of their life to focus on the LSAT, because the LSAT is the thing that's going to do the most to help them go to law school and go for free. Right. But I think what I'm hearing right now from Nathan and from you, and I have to agree with this, is that you do these informational interviews. You don't do a ton of them. You just start doing a little bit every day. They're going to do one of two things for you. They're going to push you away from this industry. You're going to say, oh my God, I don't want anything to do with these kinds of people. I thought I did, but I don't. And then you're going to save all yourself that time and money. Or they're going to provide you the fire, right? The motivation to really turn up your LSAT score. Because you're like, oh, wow, I do want to do what this person is doing. And they had to go to a good law school. And now I can see the path and I can see how the LSAT plays a role in that. And so, yeah, I couldn't agree more. This, it's like little bits of information that end up being like immensely powerful.
Absolutely.
People have this amorphous, I want to be a lawyer because it seems like a good career. And I'm like, yeah, but okay, but what exactly do you want to do? Who's the lawyer that you're trying to emulate? What is that career path look like? Like, who exactly are we talking about? And you don't have to name a name, but you should have a name in your head. There should be a real lawyer, not just a fantasy TV lawyer. There should be somebody who you're trying to emulate. And if it's just like, oh no, I just think, you know, I couldn't be a doctor, so I wanted to be a lawyer, then that's just, that's very unrealistic. And also, Ben, don't you see, we see students who, and I mean, tragically, Rachel, you probably see them at USC Law School as well. These people who are just kind of like, they're sadly on this path, again, because they don't know what else to do. So they're just thinking like, well, I don't know. I mean, I'll work it out. I'll find something that's a good fit at some point. Mm-hmm. And they don't have that, Ben said, fire. They're not inspired by anybody who has this actual job. They're just kind of like one foot in front of the other, just kind of slowly trudging along. What a miserable existence. And you could avoid that completely.
Well, right. And that's what I talked about this before. It's that there are so many miserable lawyers, and life is too short. It's too short for that, you know? Because then on the flip side, when you have a happy lawyer who's fully fulfilled and doing everything that, you know, just utilizing their entire skill set towards their daily work, it's a game changer. It's just the best thing. And I sit here today as that person. I am so happy, and it took me a long time. So don't, you know, a lot of the work that I do with the book and with trying to mentor people is to sort of save people from the mistakes I made, which is toiling too long in a job that wasn't a good fit.
Awesome. Thanks so much
Yeah.
for coming on the show. It's your first Demon Daily appearance. I don't think it will be your last. Ben, you want to wrap it up?
Yeah. Email daily at lsatdemon.com if you'd like to ask us a question or share some LSAT or law school admissions news. Thanks for listening.